Hey folks, after a 1 week hurricane-induced hiatus, I am Bo Cordell, and in this episode, we're going to talk to Tom White, a teacher at the Rockdale Career Academy in Georgia. Tom and his group of high school students produce hundreds of live events every year, and we get the opportunity to hear all about his program and the fun stuff they're doing this football season. After listening, don't forget to check out the show notes, because Tom sent us over a copy of their run of show, as well as the schematic showing how they set everything up for their live Friday night broadcast. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy this episode of Inside the Control Room.
Welcome Inside the Control Room with your host, Bo Cordell.
All right, Tom White, thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, buddy, my pleasure.
All right, it sounds like y'all are doing some really cool stuff at the Rockdale Career Academy. Before we get into that, how'd you get here? How'd you start doing this stuff?
My entire career story is about backdooring into positions I shouldn't be in. And it didn't stop here, or didn't start here with teaching. I started in radio just because I was in college and needed money for the weekends. And then I kind of turned that into a career in marketing and promotions. Transferred down to Atlanta. And when I got to Atlanta, I realized that the internet was going to be the thing for radio. And then shortly thereafter, I realized that video was going to be the thing for the internet. So I kind of taught myself video and internet. And then I parlayed that into a job teaching video production at the Rockdale Career Academy, just outside of Atlanta.
Awesome. So I think that's where we first met, was the Clear Channel days. I was on the Atlanta Braves radio network crew. And
I had 96 Rock. We were the home of the Braves for the first year I was there, and so that's where we met. And then you left shortly after I got there, which I'm not going to take offense to.
Yeah, I got my first full-time job shortly after that. We got to spend a spring training down in Florida. We got to spend a week together doing that.
We did. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. All right. So tell us a little bit about the program y'all have there at Rockdale, and explain how that's set up and what all y'all are producing.
We started the Sports Broadcast Institute here in the fall of 2015. And the goal was to kind of capitalize on being in a good spot. As a career academy, we serve three traditional high schools, and they have, between 8 and 15 sports apiece. And it just seemed like a gap that needed to be filled. So I asked some students what they wanted to do, and they, the resounding response was, I want to work for some four-letter networks. So I said, well, let's create our own. And the students, they're upper-level students, so they're second, third, or fourth-year students in the program. And we do everything from produce 90-second news packages through, creating commercials. And the biggest feather in our cap is our live broadcasts. Last year, we produced about 200 live broadcasts. This year, we're going to focus more on quality than quantity. So my goal this year is to do 100 shows. And when I say do 100 shows, it's the kids do 99% of the work. I have to get the equipment to them and kind of help troubleshoot and kind of manage at that point. But it's a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of opportunities, which is the biggest thing. We work with University of Georgia's Grady School of Journalism. They provide us air talent during football season and some other production element stuff there. We also work with Georgia State University and help those guys with what they need as they're developing and building their program, especially since taking over the old Turner Field. So kids have a lot of opportunities, and that's the biggest thing, is to kind of put them in an environment that isn't just classroom environment. They're by the time the school year gets going good, there are weeks that I don't talk to certain students because they come in, they put their headphones on in an editing bay, and they edit for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then they shake my hand as they leave. So it's a pretty cool opportunity for the kids. I'm really excited to be blessed to be in charge of it.
It's incredible for high school students to get this experience, because I was fortunate enough to do video production at a local TV station for about 2 years in high school. And when I got to college, and I went to the University of Georgia and went through the Grady program, I came into Grady as a freshman, literally on par with the juniors and seniors in the program. So I was literally my first weekend, I was teaching the junior technical director, you know, stuff about his switcher he didn't know. So for high school students to get this experience, I mean, it's going to just serve them so well in the future.
Yeah, I agree. And if you just look around, sports video is not going anywhere. It's going to continue to get bigger. As now every college or university with a sports team wants everyone to be able to see it. It's a huge marketing tool for the colleges, and we're excited to be kind of on the forefront of focusing our efforts on that. I'm really excited about that.
So when you say you're going to do 100 live broadcasts this year, break that down for me. Tell me what kind of broadcast you're talking about.
So we'll range from obviously your major sports, football, basketball, baseball. We'll do volleyball and softball in the fall. We'll do some wrestling in the winter. And then in the spring, obviously baseball, soccer. We actually have a lacrosse team here in the county now. So we'll focus on those. We'll also do, you know, the holiday parade in town. We work with the local television station here to help produce that. Stuff for the school board, teacher of the year ceremony, the awards night ceremonies, those type things. And then we're actually working with another university in the town over to kind of start their real legitimate live streaming. So we'll probably produce 10 to 15 broadcasts for those guys this year as well. So it kind of runs the gamut from, you know, contained in an auditorium to a Christmas parade to a variety of, you know, athletic venues throughout the county.
So how many students do you have in your program?
In the Sports Broadcast Institute, we have 31 students this year.
Wow.
In the overall program, I have first-year students. I have about 50 first-year students, ranging from 8th grade to 10th grade. And those guys are, I have them for first year. They learn the basics, you know, composition, editing, writing, that kind of stuff, so that when they hit the ground in the institute, they have 2 to 3 years of real legitimate working and learning.
Okay, so you've got students in a first-year program that then kind of feeds the institute.
Yep. And I tap into the middle schools as well. So two of our four middle schools here have video production programs. So I go and spend some time with those teachers to kind of feed the program. And we're working to build out a bigger, better middle school program as we continue to develop at the high school level.
Yeah, that's so cool. So we're obviously coming into football season now. So walk me through a typical Friday for one of your broadcasts.
Friday afternoon, my students leave the classroom about 3 o'clock. I pull my van up to the side of the building about 3:05 and start loading out. I load out, it pretty much takes the entire van, tables, chairs, everything we take. I drive over to the stadium. I'm usually there by 4:00 or 4:30 and load into the stadium there. And then we start building our production area. We don't have a trailer, we don't have a truck or anything like that. So the first thing out of the back of the van are the tables, so we can start building out our set and our production area. We will run at our biggest broadcast. We'll probably get up to 6 cameras, 2 at high mid, 2 on the field, a studio show, and then 1 roaming in the stands. And we'll do instant replay. We'll run commercials. We'll get as close to a real broadcast as we can get. And then at the end of the night, we break it all down, pack it out, and bring it back to the school and unload it and put it back on the shelves.
So how much are you putting this stuff together compared to, you know, what are the students doing?
I have 5 interns who, for the last 2 weeks, their entire 90-minute block with me every other day has been learning the equipment, how to set it up, how to tear it down. So they'll come in, they'll set it up. I'll go in and inspect it, make sure it all works the right way. I'll send them out of the room. I will mess something up and send them back in to fix it. And then they have to tear it down and store it properly. So a good night for me on a Friday night is sitting on top of a tackle box or a toolbox, pouting because there's nothing for me to do.
That's incredible. So you're teaching them to be their own engineers, essentially.
Yeah, I want to make sure that, you know, God forbid something happened to me, you know, blow out a knee going up the stairs carrying something, what have you, that the show can still go on and empower them to do that. That's the other thing, is to give them the freedom to go to troubleshoot, to give them the freedom to go, we don't need white, is what they say all the time. We don't need white to fix that. We got it. So it's a cool thing. I'm really proud of the crew that I work with. They work really hard and they work a lot of hours and I pay them. They get paid. They get paid a flat rate per game.
So most of the students that are working a game get actually paid for it.
Yes. My main crew, which consists of a tech director, a producer / graphics operator, an audio person, and my camera operators all get paid.
Wow.
And then I'll have some students come from the class. So a student who didn't make the cut as a camera operator, but still wants that environment, I'll give them a camera to do some behind the scenes footage or to take some photographs on the field.
Okay.
So they still get the experience.
All right. So run me through a crew list on a typical football game.
Do you want the big list when we bring in the UGA folks, or you just want the high school list?
Well, whatever, you know, what's a normal Friday night? Well, let's do both. Okay.
So last Friday night I had, three camera operators. It was our first game. So the camera operator switched between a wide shot and a tight shot. I had a technical director. I had a graphics operator. And then I have a couple of guys who have been great friends of the program, Tom Whitfield and Daniel Bolton, who have just given countless hours to our broadcasts by providing play-by-play and color for us. So they were there. So that's our basic setup. I've done broadcasts with a lot less. And our big setup would be myself acting as executive producer, Professor Michaelis and Professor Bob Halton from the University of Georgia acting as producers as well. So I have the same high school crew, but I add in an instant replay. I add in a show producer, a show camera op. And then from University of Georgia, I get play-by-play, color, statistics, a producer for the play-by-play. I get an instant replay producer, sideline crew, which includes a reporter, a producer, and a social media component, whatever that may be, and then another group that is just social media. So our crew ranges from 6 usually to 36, depending on, you know, the first couple of games at 6. And then, you know, for us, the 1st of September is the first game with our whole crew, and there'll be almost 40 people on our crew list.
Wow. So how many games will you do that have the big crew?
We're going to do 8 games with the big crew this year, 8 football games with the big crew. UGA started, they had their first class last Friday. They threw them in the fire. They did a local game before they drove them. University of Georgia is an hour and 10 minutes away from us. So they did a game in Athens, and then they're going to recap this week. And then next week through the end of November, they'll be with us every Friday night. And then when we get into basketball season, we'll kind of carry some games into basketball season so those guys get that experience as well.
Okay. Run me through. So basically, you have 3 hours every Friday night to get all this set up. So run me through the equipment list. What all do you have to bring in and set up?
Obviously, cameras, tripods on the roof. Coming down, we are currently SDI, straight coax coming down. We are going to fiber, which I'm really excited about, from the roof down to our production area. We right now have a Blackmagic switcher. Then we actually run the Blackmagic switcher through Wirecast as our main encoding and distribution and master control. On the other side, we use Personas mixers for our audio. We have Sennheiser headsets for all of our on-air talent. On the field, we will run fiber from the press box or the production area, depending on where we are. One of our production areas is actually on the ground under the bleachers. So we will run fiber down to the field, and we will use some IDX wireless technology there for our cameras. I have a Shure wireless microphone for our sideline reporter. And you know, it's just it's a hodgepodge of stuff. As I get it, I implement it. So there's no brand loyalty at this point, because it's whatever's on sale or whatever I can get my hands on. For our instant replay, I actually use Wirecast. I set up a different Wirecast machine because Wirecast has the instant replay capabilities. So my instant replay producer is using Wirecast to capture for instant replay and fire that.
Okay, what about graphics?
Graphics, I'm using New Blue FX. They're Tyler Live software we've used now for about a year. It's cost effective. And it's simple to use. My son, who's 10, is by far my best graphics operator. he does, man. He's the greatest. But it's simple to use. You queue up what you want. It's pretty plug and play. But it can be 3D graphics. It's motion. It's got scoreboards. It's got play clocks. It's got game clocks. It's got a lot of stuff. It's got some social media integration coming out in the next release. So yeah, New Blue FX has done a lot of really cool stuff with us. They send me the stuff to figure out if we can break it. And so far we haven't been able to, which is a good thing, because the thing about working with high school kids is they're going to be aggressive when you give them something really cool.
Yeah.
And when they get that aggressive, sometimes, you know, I just look at what they do in Premiere sometimes and I go, I don't know how you did it, and I'll never be able to get back to where you had it. So let's just start over. So yeah, that's what we use for graphics. It, like I said, really easy to use. It uses NDI, so that gives me a talking point for, you know, for new technology for my students, so they can understand a little bit of the IP workflow, a little bit of the fiber workflow, and obviously the RF workflow as well.
What kind of intercom do you have set up there when you're on site?
In terms of intercom, we actually use EarTech, their hub system. Pretty cost efficient, covers what we need to cover. I would eventually like to get more professional intercoms, but for what we do now, it's an EarTech wireless. I think it's Hub Lite is the brand or the model of it. It's a relatively inexpensive solution. I've got 7 headsets, so I can do what I need to do there. In terms of talking with our talent, we just use monitor feeds behind, you know, and everybody's got on headsets. So their producer has on a headset and we use a monitor feed.
That's super cool. I mean, that's a pretty solid setup.
It's been a long time. I mean, we've been aggressively streaming games for about 5 years. And about 3 years ago, we decided to kind of make the switch to doing quality. And then our partnership with UGA gave that the nitrogen boost that we've seen in the last year.
Where are you getting the funding for this stuff? Is it all through the school system, or you have sponsorships?
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of all three things. Previously, our model was to do coaching footage primarily, and then the live stream was actually a secondary. It was a byproduct of the coaching footage. So, you know, in high school football, huddle is the key tape trading. If they no longer meet at a Waffle House at 2 a.m. on a Sunday morning,
mm-hmm.
it's all digital. So we would film and upload the coach's huddle footage. And then, you know, you have a wide camera and a tight camera. We would just take that and switch that for our broadcast. So that's the model we went with until this year. And this year we have jumped solely into sponsorships, which has been an interesting transition. Slow going, but I don't have a sales force. It's me. So, but it's good. There's a lot of potential out there. Rockdale County is a relatively small county, but has a lot of small business, a lot of local small business that we can tap into. So, I'm really excited about that transition and change. And then we do get some funding. I got $1,500 for a budget for this year. So,
wow.
Everything else has been, and that's on par with what we've had the last several years. And I'm not at all complaining about that. I appreciate that because I work with a lot of other schools, and that is an amount that they dream about. So we do have to do our own external fundraising, but it works out well. The other thing that I've done to get a lot of this equipment is working with John Churchman at School Video News, writing for him, doing some equipment reviews, and that has helped me make some industry contacts. That's helped reduce the price on a lot of stuff, and sometimes just meant that I got to keep some of the stuff.
Yeah, and I definitely want to talk about school video news here in a few minutes. So in addition to the sponsorships, does the Huddle stuff, do they pay you for that coach's video?
Yeah, the coaches paid us for it. This year we're not doing that at all. So it's either going to be a great decision that helps us come up with more income and better product, or I'm going to look back and go, well, you threw away $8,000 to $10,000 a year because you wanted to do your own thing and be, you know, super cool stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'll look back in a couple of years and we'll make that determination.
So when you're producing these games, where do they land if we wanted to go watch one of your productions?
We use we have a kind of an aggregate site, rockdalelive.com. And this year, everything is going to be on YouTube in terms of sports production. Some of our other stuff we will put on the NFHS network, which will all be kind of portaled through rockdalelive.com.
For your program there, what's your idea of success?
My idea, like I said earlier, I backdoored into teaching, and I found this insane passion to see people learn. And for me, success are my students being able to go to a school or go to a job. I tell parents in open house, when your kid's done with me, I want to be able to walk them across the stage at graduation and into a broadcast truck or into a journalism program or that. That's my ultimate goal. The goal with our live broadcasts is to obviously continue to be self-sufficient, not be a burden on the county, but also to show what these kids can do. I don't have a sales department. I don't have a budget. I don't have any of those things. So we can really do whatever we want. But at the end of the day, I want my kids to be showcased as budding professionals and as people who are going to enter the workforce with a ton of experience. That for me is a win day in and day out. And we've got a lot of success stories. The program here started, the overall video production program started in 2006. And we have former students who are producers at WSB. We have producers at CNN. We've got Air Talent in California. We've got a lot of students who have kind of done their own thing, started, you know, wedding videography and photography businesses. And we've got a ton of success stories like that. So that ultimately for me is the win. And it's why I continue teaching, is because of those wins with the kids who are actually learning really cool stuff and going out into the workforce and doing video production.
That's awesome. It seems like you're there. I mean, that's a really cool program you got going on. So tell me some what's your biggest challenge, or tell me about a time that things didn't go right.
The biggest challenge is you're dealing with high school students. The wind could change and their attitude changes. There's a lot of things that we fight as educators that for me, even though I have this really cool program, I can't avoid. You know, a kid that wants to sign up for a broadcast and then doesn't really want to be there. He just wanted to get into the game for free. The biggest thing that we fight is the culture of defeatists. A lot of the kids, they'll see these cables and they'll see these boxes and, well, I'll never be able to understand what any of that does. And in terms of actual production, it's making our dreams for the program a reality on the screen. Instant replay for me 5 years ago was never going to happen. I mean, I don't have $30,000 for a true replay system, but it got inventive and figured it out. So now we're going to manipulate that. So the biggest challenge again is it's getting the right kids in the right spot and keeping them encouraged. We start school in July. It's hot in August and we're carrying boxes up flights of stairs. So that's the biggest challenge. I'm sure people would have thought, well, it's budget. It's got to be budget. If I got the right kids, I don't need a budget. The kids will do the work. So we can make that happen. So it's finding those kids and finding ways to motivate them.
Very cool. All right. So tell me what's going on with School Video News and tell me about your role there.
School Video News, it kind of happened as just a random email. John Churchman is the publisher there. I emailed him a question about something and he responded with, yeah, that's cool. Here's the answer. have you ever thought about doing this? And I forget what the this was. I know what it was now that I think about it. It was the JVC sports production camera. And I told him I had no idea that it existed. So he sent me one and asked me to write a review on it. And I could tell it was kind of one of those, hey, see what this kid can actually do, or see what this guy can actually do. And I started writing for John. I think I'm in year three now. Absolutely love it. I found a catharsis in writing that I didn't know existed. So I am the sports production editor, and I write at least one monthly article. The monthly article that I write is a feature called the Sports Production Machine. It's kind of a peek into the classroom, into the production environment here at Rockdale. And what School Video News is an online publication that targets high school, or really education, video production teachers. There's about 11,000 people who get the monthly email. And it's, in my point of view, is to try to engage educators with industry. So I do a lot of stuff where I talk with industry people, and I try to bring in new products and make them available and visible to the education community. I learned quickly as a teacher that it doesn't take long for you to get sucked into a classroom and look up, and a year has gone by and you haven't done anything outside of the classroom in your field. So that's kind of what I hope my contribution with School Video News and my role is to give those teachers some empowerment to go and do some new stuff and to learn some new stuff. We're in our third month on a series about fiber optics. You know, for a lot of teachers, that's just magic. They don't understand how it works or why it works. So the first two articles were all about breaking down what fiber is and how it works, and why it's important for video production, and why it could be used and how it can be used in a school system. So School Video News has done a lot to help me build our program, and I hope that it has helped other programs grow through kind of just the aggressive take that I have on what we should do in terms of industry and experiences for our kids.
Yeah, definitely check out that School Video News site, because there's a ton of great content on there. It's a lot of good stuff. I was looking through it earlier.
Yeah, and John has done a good job of getting in touch with a lot of really cool teachers who are teachers by heart, and so they don't mind sharing, here are the things that I did, or here's the things that I did or should have done. And there's an article for everything. We have the sports production issue. We do it once a year, coming out probably as early as Friday. We're putting some finishing touches on that now. So it may come out as early as Friday.
Can you tell me a story about a time when something went either really right or really wrong?
You know, when it comes to right and wrong, they're all anecdotal. I mean, we've worked with the NFHS Network and Play On Sports for the last several years, and they have the broadcast rights for all the state playoff games. So several years ago, we were in Alpharetta at Kings Ridge Christian School, and for the state baseball championship games. At the time, they did them at host locations, the host schools, and it's a 2 out of 3 thing. And that day, I was the air talent. I was going to do play-by-play. And I'm sitting there going over my notes, and I feel someone walk up, and, you know, and I just kind of continue doing my thing. And the person stands there and goes, "Do you really know what you're doing?" And I'm like, that voice is so familiar. And I look up, and it's none other than Bobby Cox.
No way.
So the rest of the broadcast, I'm scared to death, because, I mean, we worked with Bobby in the past, and it was, you know, and it just is that intimidation of knowing that Bobby Cox is right behind you. And I think it was a nephew or a grandson or something that was playing ball in the game. So that was one of those where, you know, the whole game, I was scared to death. The kids were scared to death. But, you know, we got through it. I don't get intimidated often, but when you have Bobby Cox harassing you before a game, it kind of throws you a little bit.
Yeah, Bobby Cox, of course, the former manager of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, recent Hall of Famer. Great guy. I mean, amazing guy. But, you know, you just that.
That's funny.
It kind of threw me.
That's funny.
So, yeah, in terms of bad broadcasts and things going wrong, again, we've had it all. But those are where the kids learn the most. You know, everybody's upset, everybody's tense. Are we going to get in there? I've probably yelled at a kid or two. I've probably cussed a kid or two. I know I've cussed the equipment a time or two. But I tell the kids that I'm not going to say a tenth of the things that you might actually hear on a real production. You know, I tell them that I'm going to get in those level ones and level two cuss words every now and then. But you go into a real production and you're in some fours and fives. And you're going to hear words you probably didn't know went together. That's where you learn the most with these guys is when it's a nirvana and everything's utopian, you're not going to learn as much. So that's one other reason that I decided to do live production is I can teach a kid more on top of a press box on a night when everything is awful than I can a month in the classroom.
Oh, you're exactly right. And, one of the most valuable skills, you know, it sounds like you're teaching the kids is how to troubleshoot.
And that's the hardest thing to teach.
Yep.
With our kids, there's that instant gratification of there's got to be a quick answer. And sometimes there's not. And that's one of those, the patience is the hardest thing to teach.
Yep. Yep. Dude, well, I love what you're doing there. You know, high school production is really what set me up for the career that I've kind of stumbled into. So I know, you know, you're really changing lives and making the world a better place with the work you're doing.
I appreciate that. Teaching has been a newfound passion.
Very cool. All right. Well, Tom White, thanks for being on the show. I hope to get over there to Conyers and get to hang out with your students sometime soon.
Yeah, man. I look forward to it.
All right. Thanks for listening. As I mentioned earlier, Tom shared several of his notes and drawings with us, so be sure to head over to inthecr.com/008 and check those out. Until next time, have a good show, everybody.